There is more going on than you know. There are unseen universal forces at work. The law of attraction is just one universal law that plays a part in shaping your reality. But there's so much more to know. If you knew how to engage all the universal forces, you could deliberately create the life of your dreams. Joshua, a group of non-physical teachers, explains the laws of the universe and how the mechanisms of physical reality actually work. They are channeled by Gary Temple Bodley, and each week, Gary and a group of students discuss how they are affecting and enhancing their lives every single day. This is the expansion of the law of attraction. This is the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. We're thrilled you're here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. I'm your host, Gary Temple Bodley. On this spectacular podcast today, we're going to talk about going with the flow. If we create our own reality, which we certainly do, then do we need to plan? Do we need to make things work out? Do we need to know what's going to happen? Or can we just trust that there's something else there working, the law of attraction and our intentions that we set before we were born, and everything's, you know, moving to get us in the right vibration so that we become a match to what we want? Or do we need to control everything and just make sure that nothing bad happens to us? So that's what we're going to talk about today.
Right? Yeah.
Perfect.
Sounds good.
All right. On the show today, we have Kyla Hinton. Hi, Kyla.
Hi, Gary and friends.
And Wendy Pierce. Hi, Wendy.
Top of the morning to you, Gary.
Mark Tejada. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Gary.
Well, I winged that one. Is that a verb? Winged it?
Uh-huh.
I winged it.
Winged it. You winged
it. And you might be able to tell that I'm a little under the weather. I woke up this morning with a sore throat, and I can feel, you know, that beginning of the cold kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
So before the show started, we had this conversation. Is that happening because solar flares are starting here? There's energy of the ascension, and I'm in the right frame to pick up on the ascension, but I have a little wobble in my vibration, and that causes some resistance. Or is it because I've been around people who are sick, or is it because I have some resistance going on?
Wendy, we can't hear you.
Or is it all three?
It says you adopted their beliefs and now you're sick.
Adopted their beliefs.
The
beliefs.
People that were sick that are around you.
Yeah, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe option B either, right?
Hot or cold.
So here I am saying I don't believe that I can catch a cold from someone else.
Then what is it?
Well, isn't it interesting because we certainly know that viruses are spreading through contact with other people. But maybe it's because I'm putting up some resistance. And the way to slow me down, the way to stop me from doing all the stuff and trying to make everything happen is to catch a little cold, put me in bed for a couple of days, and reset. And maybe I sort of hooked up with someone somehow who had the cold, and that's how I got it, the law of attraction. So the cold was the best thing for me at this time to slow me down.
Couldn't it also be your body's releasing? It's always, you know, Joshua talks to us always about resistance, but I'm also finding out now that with that resistance comes a releasing, and there's things that our body stores within there. Yeah. And so your body's, Gary, you've been going through so much. You're at a very fast pace. Your body is bound to do something to try to catch up.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been in the back of my mind, I'm like, when am I going to get the flu? You know, I'm going through so much stuff now, you know, I'm just trying to make everything okay. This is cool. This is fine. Everything's working out. Everything's going good. And then I have all these emotions and stuff. My mom passed away on Monday, you know, and so a lot of stuff happening.
I mean, you're making a big move. You're working on house. I'm truly believing more and more that not only do we – because, okay, I'll use myself as an example. I was still having those body aches and stuff, and Joshua, way back when, told me that was resistance. Okay, that made sense. I was totally resisting a lot of stuff. But now I'm not resistant as much. I've released a lot of stuff, but I've got years of buildup in my body. And my body can't just switch like my thoughts or my mind. I mean, it's got to go through a release process just like it went through a taking on process.
I totally agree. I totally think that's absolutely the fact. Yeah. And so you have this stored, it's even in The Power of Now, mm-hmm. in that book. Mm-hmm. And it's like these pain bodies that are,
right.
this pain is stored in the body and then that gets released. When I bought my first house right after college, we were moving from my apartment to this new house and we're playing football while we're moving in the street and I hit a curb with my foot and broke it, right? And so I'm in the cast the whole time. And then when Lily and I bought our house together, I was renovating it right before we got married and I'm renovating this house and I step on a nail. And so I have a limp all through our wedding. So it's like these funny things of this, you know, moving forward to another thing. And for me, it came out in this resistance and I haven't, well, I shouldn't say that. So yesterday.
Maybe you should get some boots.
Steel toe.
So yesterday I'm in the house, in the new house, and working on it. And a back staircase has a low part that you got to watch your head. And I hit that thing so hard.
Oh.
It's like unbelievable. I had a hat on too. But I didn't have a hat on. And I like passed out for a couple days, hours. No. I saw stars. I heard a crack in my neck. Oh, it was so painful. Oh. I dropped the thing that I was carrying. And like, man, that's resistance there. Yeah.
So what do you think? Oh, you just think that's the resistance? Like, you know, did you correlate things, it to what you were thinking about and going through at that moment?
Yeah, for sure. You know, like, my mother had been lingering. You know, she was half paralyzed for 7 years. And then she had another stroke, and so she was totally paralyzed. And then her caregiver couldn't take care of her. They had to move her into a full-time nursing facility. And so she's just lingering for months like that, you know, in a bed without being able to move or do anything. Had to go to hospital a couple times. And so when she passed away on Monday, my brother and I were like relieved, really, was the emotion. Sure. But also, and because, you know, I know so much about where she's going, I can communicate with her pretty well now. Mm. And, you know, more so than I did, you know, when she was sick, because she couldn't really talk on the phone too much, especially at the end. And, but still, I have a little bit of guilt for not feeling, you know, grief.
Mm. Sure.
I feel negative emotion for not feeling enough negative emotion.
Yeah.
But that's part of it too, and that plays into all of it.
You know, totally. Really,
yeah. Years of conditioning.
And, you know, like when I'm at a normal funeral with someone I just barely know, I'm trying to get everyone happy and saying this is a good event, you know, that sort of thing. And nobody wants to hear that, of course, because they want to grieve. And so even when it happens to me, I think, well, maybe I should grieve too, because that's like our culture, isn't
right.
it? So this momentum of these old beliefs that don't serve anybody still stick with me, even though I know better.
Yeah, sure.
Momentum within your body. I mean, and even going back to your opening statement about being able to go with the flow versus trying to control things, even when we're going with the flow, there's still – we can't be pure. You know what I mean? You can't be pure. So there's still going to be a little bit of control factor – control factor, I guess, in there. I mean, you can try, like when we were on the cruise, we went with the flow pretty much and we had some great times, but there's always just going to be a little bit of doubt or wavering just because we're human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, the cruise was a perfect example of that because one day we went with the flow and one day it was planned.
Right.
And the day we went with the flow was magical.
Yes.
And the planned day had all kinds of you know, stuff. Kate's ring got
ring, yeah. We almost lost Kyla.
No, we were nowhere near losing Kyla. Kyla was found all along. Kyla was right where she needed to be.
Kyla was fine.
Kyla beat you guys back to the boat.
You know,
that's it. Kyla beat us.
I know.
For once, Kyla was early.
And it's also how you planned.
Oh, sorry.
What'd you say, Kyla?
Oh, I said for once, Kyla was early.
She beat us. Yeah, and it's also how you plan stuff too, right? You can plan stuff with control, with a degree of control, or you know, a degree, degree of less control or more control, right? If you're planning stuff, like if you plan, like this better be perfect. We better not do this. So that's, or you can say, okay, let's plan and it's going to be fun. You can plan with intentions.
But using the word plan is a control.
Yeah,
you're right.
So instead of using the word plan, you use the word intention.
I
plan for this, right?
Yeah. So would that be like a plan without an attachment to the outcome? Is that?
Yeah.
But like, if you have to make more specific plans, like, okay, you guys, let's meet at 3, and then we're going to take this boat over. Now you can make those more specific intentions or goals with lightness, with less attachment. Like, and if it doesn't happen, that's okay too. Or you can say by 3.
With a less attachment to it means that you have faith that if it doesn't work out the way you planned, then there's a better plan for you that you're just not aware of it.
Right.
And so then if someone shows up 15 minutes late, you're like, well, that's part of the new plan. It's not that this person's wrong. You know, it's just part of the new plan is working out this way. And so we can say in a more empowering way, we say, well, the new plan is, you know, what does that hold for us? You know, what's in there? Instead of, you should not have been late. You screwed us all up.
Right. You're talking to me when you say that? Because I feel bad now.
Or when you are the one who's late, you're like, hey, everyone, I just made a new plan for all of us.
Just be that guy.
Be that guy every single time.
Show up and say you're welcome.
Try that one.
So all right, how's the thing going in North Carolina?
That's really nice up here. It's the weather's it snowed on my car the first day. And then it was got a little bit warmer. Like yesterday was 77 degrees and sunny and beautiful. Wow. So it's been between those two things, those two extremes. And so I wanted to get a North Carolina vehicle so I could work on the house and then go, you know, if it snows or if we go in the mountains or something, have a four-wheel drive. So I was looking at all these different cars online, and I didn't really see any in person. And then I found one that looked good, and I called the guy. And I said, you know, where do you want to meet? And he goes, well, can you meet me in this town? And I'm like, okay, what's your address? He goes, well, where'd you find this at? I said, Craigslist. Okay, well, let's meet at a restaurant. So I'm like, okay. So I meet a restaurant, and he's a doctor, and he's like this totally fastidious guy. And this car looks better than brand new. It's a 2006. It's a Escalade. I'm calling it Escalade. And it is so beautiful. And so I drive it, and it's great. Everything's perfect. Everything's there. He's got the books from the beginning. He's only two owners. Had good mileage and a good price. And so I'm on the way back and thinking, well, I should probably see some other ones. This is the only one I've ever seen. And then I think, nah, let's just make him an offer. And he accepts it. And then I go and pick it up. And he goes, you want to have it inspected? I said, no, I trust you. He's a, the thing couldn't be any more beautiful and perfect. So then he's like, well, I got to take my tag. You got your own tag. And so I go DMV. It was across the street. So I just walk there, get a new tag, put on and go home. It was perfect.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's just like, this is the one. And I made him offer. He accepted the offer. It was like the easiest deal in the world. And in the past, I would have been like, oh, I have to have inspected. Like my brother, you didn't have inspected. Oh, I have to see 5 cars. I have to see 10 cars, whatever. He's like, how many did you see? And, you know, I told him the price, and he couldn't believe it because he has one similar that he spent a year looking for.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. So it sounds like you just started off even before you even started, like you didn't have a lot of anxiety about it or a whole big thing about it. You just went with the flow. It sounds like you went with the flow all along, even from the get go. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I had this inspiration to get another car that could actually seat. It's got 7 seats. So when you guys come, we can all go out and do stuff together. And also, I can put a trailer on it. and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. So it was this extended long one. So if there were seven people in the car, it'd have room for everyone's luggage as well.
Oh, wow.
You know, so there's like certain things I wanted. Four-wheel drive. I wanted these many miles. I wanted this price range. And, you know, I wanted it to be in really nice condition. And so I'm looking at different places online for a couple months, really, but never seeing one in person. And so I was looking mainly where the house is located in that Craigslist area. But I was with Bruce and Mary Ellen in Charlotte, so I just looked at Charlotte. And this one came up, and I texted the guy. And I texted a few people, but he was the only one who texted back. So he texted back, and I said, you know, he's like, when do you want to come see it? I'm like, oh, now, you know. And I was like, even sure if I wanted to see it. So just go down there, and it was just, you knew it was the right car. You know, and so, yeah, and so instead of buying it right then and there, which I could have done, I was like, oh, you know, I wonder if I should look at other cars and stuff. By the time I got back to Bruce's house, I said, just texted, made him an offer. Because, you know, that's going with the flow. If the universe is providing you with everything you wanted right here, everything you wanted, why keep looking after that?
Yeah,
you know? Exactly. It's because what you wanted, the price that, you wanted. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you're trying to say, could I get something better? Could I get something better? Yeah. Could I get something better? You know, and that was just this fear that this, of, I guess it's a fear of missing out, right?
FOMO.
Fear of missing out.
It's FOMO. I have FOMO. I'm a FOMO sufferer.
Yeah.
Do you suffer from FOMO?
I suffer from FOMO. Yeah.
I guess it's like, you know, when you sell a stock, do you keep looking at the stock to see what would have happened if you sold the day after or the day after or the day after?
Well, that's torture.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's just silly.
All right.
That's good.
Anyone else have any stories about going with the flow or the opposite side of control?
Yeah. You mean I've been trying to live my life that way, you know, just more and more and trusting. So now after this incident with you and you have this car and it turns out awesome, then you said, well, I trusted, you know, I went with the flow and I didn't even look at other cars and look how great this turned out. So that even the next time you make a decision, you're going to be more likely to trust that it's going to work out for you.
Yeah.
And I've just been kind of just doing more and more and more in my life, trusting, you know, it's going to be okay, setting light intentions. And, so I've just been kind of trying to do that. It's working out well. It's working out well. Yeah.
All right. Well,
you say that with such confidence.
Yeah. It's okay.
It's working out well. Question mark.
Yeah, I'm thinking of anything specific. It's just like pretty much working out well. I'm trying, you know. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go into Drew's question.
What about the quote?
Do we have a quote?
Mark, I mean,
always has a quote.
All right, Mark. You pull up a go with the flow quote. Let's see what happens.
You ready?
Yeah.
Spin the wheel.
All right. All the thoughts and ideas that have ever been still thought still exist. I should start over with that one. All the thoughts and ideas that has. Oh my Lord. Take three.
Deep breath.
All the thoughts and ideas that have ever been thought still exist. All the thoughts and ideas that ever will be thought also exist. Thoughts that have not yet been thought are at frequencies that have not yet been reached. They may be reached tomorrow or exist. When you get an original idea, it's not that you created the idea. It's just that you were the first to reach the vibrational frequency of the idea.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. And so how does that relate to going with the flow?
If you get an idea, go with it. Yeah. If you get an idea, go with it. Don't block those ideas.
That's right.
Going with the flow opens you up to reach those, in quotes, original ideas that haven't been reached yet. It's hard to reach those if you're not in a flow state.
Well, if you're not going with the flow, you're, I guess, in fear. And in fear, you're going to get urges rather than inspiration. And the urges will be to change the conditions, to control more. Yeah.
There you go.
All right, cool. So, Wendy, do you want to read for Drew?
Sure.
Drew's question?
Up here. Okay. Dear Joshua, A few days ago, at the beginning of our current cruise, we had an incident. The cruise was scheduled to depart 7 p.m. on Sunday, and we chose to arrive in Miami on Saturday to be sure we did not have any delays and miss the cruise. And
Have you guys ever used that sentence, that phrase, our current cruise?
Our current cruise.
Yeah. First world problem, okay?
Yeah. This is a good manifestor of cruises. Because I think they went on two cruises back to back.
I love to go on cruises all the time. When I grow up, I want to be just like them.
Me too, for sure.
When we're talking about the Joshua cruises, we have to like distinguish, right? Because we have three so far, and we have another one coming.
Yeah. But there's they get off one, and they just turn around, and go on another one.
Right.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too.
You want to do that?
That'd be fun.
It'd be a lot of fun.
Okay.
Instructions were that we could not board prior to 3 p.m. and must be on board by 5 p.m. We had a rental car and told the rental agent at the time we picked up the car that we would not be returning the car within the 24-hour time frame, but would be returning it around 3 p.m. and pay for the additional time. She indicated she would enter that information into the notes, but it would not be on the contract. The location where we were returning the car was specifically for cruise ship rentals, and they would shuttle us to the port. Around 3 p.m., when we arrived at the rental car agency, it had closed at 2 p.m. We immediately called the rental car agency, telling them our situation and that we needed a place to leave the car and needed to be shuttled to the port. We suggested leaving the car in a parking lot across the street from the rental agency, but they repeatedly told us they could not authorize that. We then spent the next hour plus listening to different agents tell us that they could not authorize us just leaving the car and we had to take it to the airport or to another location, all of which could not be done within the time frame that we had left to board the ship. No matter how many times we explained to them that we could not do it within their time frame, they kept insisting that was the only option. After a considerable delay, I was able to reach a supervisor and explain that there was a parking lot across the street from the rental agency office, and she worked with me saying we could leave the car with the keys inside and they would have a tow truck pick it up. We hailed a passing cab, loaded our luggage in the cab, and arrived at the port at 5 p.m., barely making it on time. I can just hear Rose. I'm relaying this story because it's one of many where I accomplish what seems impossible to accomplish based on what is occurring. I feel it is my guides that make it possible and allow me to create the desired outcome. I would appreciate your input. Love, Drew. For those of you that don't know Drew and Rose, they are wonderful women. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Fantastic. You got to get to them.
All righty. Let's go with Kyle, would you read for Joshua?
Sure. Dear Drew, if you didn't know any better, you might assume that things happen randomly and that you are at the mercy of fate. You might assume that you are alone and that you have to make everything happen on your own. You might also come to believe that things are inherently good and bad and right and wrong and that it is natural to react badly to bad things and happily to good things. You might further believe that it is necessary to control every condition and every person, so that you can avoid the negative situations in life. Then here we come to tell you that you create your own reality. So then, if that is true, how do you do that? You create your reality by consciously and actively choosing a perspective that is of benefit to you personally.
Mm-hmm. So nothing is inherently right or wrong. It's all neutral. Mm-hmm. And how you choose to perceive it is what it means to you. It's how it actually means to you. So I think that we all got taught that certain things are bad. I was at Bruce and Mary Ellen's house, and their son Grayson, who's six, popped a balloon and, shrugged his shoulders and was in a bad mood now because the balloon popped because he was reacting negatively to that, And Mary Ellen's like, he's like, I need a new balloon. And she's like, just suffer for a little while without the balloon. That's not what she said, but that's what she was saying, right? Learn to suffer with it, which is, learn to deal with, these emotions that you have that you think something's wrong. And then Bruce comes in and he goes, yeah, let's get you another balloon. Let's go right now. And Marianne's like, you can't just make him get a new balloon. What, it's going to be, you know, suffering every time something bad happens.
So he's going to expect new balloons all the time.
Right? I'm like, well, that's what's happening. So he's doing something, right? Right? He's manifesting a new balloon by buying him with his old balloon.
Well, same kind of thing. He went to mom. Mom said, you're just going to have to suffer. Then dad says, we'll get a new balloon. Where Drew went, kept pushing and pushing to different people. So finally, she got the response she wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. So Drew, so like, as soon as they said, no, no, man, we can't do this at that time. Right there, she could have, she had the choice to choose a perspective. She could have said, wow, everything happens bad to me. These guys are not cooperating with me. Why does this always happen to me? And she can kind of spiral down from that and attract more of the same. Or she could say, well, okay, well, how can we solve this? And this is interesting. And let's be creative. And let's, you know, you can kind of lose it or you can not lose it. And then degrees of that.
Dang. Because you could literally see this event as a negative thing all the way through. And you can think, can you believe it took us 2 hours to figure this out and how mean they were to us that we had to barely make it on time and it was a disaster? Or they could say, it's amazing how I made them possible.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And more and more, I'm beginning to believe that they weren't supposed to go to the port at that time. They made something else. I mean, they were being diverted from something else that could be seen could be worse, quote unquote.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's always a reason and just go with it.
Yeah. And even if this is a manifestation event that allows her to see how everything does work out, how if you're just patient and a good mood, you get these ideas and you have these thoughts that flow toward a solution and everything worked out.
Yep.
I've been seeing a lot lately how feedback from the universe changes based on the perspective that I'm choosing, you know, how when I do get into that victim mindset, then more things show up to make me, not make me, but that reinforce that. But then when I am choosing my perspective, then things are showing up like, oh, I mean, money has been an ongoing thing for me, but I've been going back and forth, but I've been really practicing like feeling secure no matter what, trusting that I'm supported, you know, practicing the belief that like money can show up from anywhere. And the other day I was feeling really good and really solid without any necessarily like evidence to support that, but just choosing it, choosing to believe it. And I walked outside twice in a row, two different times, and in two different places, I found just random money on the ground. That's the third time. You know, that's three times in the last like 2 weeks. And then opportunities have just been showing up to do gigs. And then I'm meeting these incredible people that I wouldn't have met otherwise if I had just like a steady job, you know, and having these experiences. So, so I am like, coming back to my faith that, that it is, there's so much power in the perspective that I'm choosing all of the time. So.
Yeah.
It's not really about the money. Like, it's not about the amount of money that you found. It's almost just like little messages from the universe saying, look, we're on it. It's going to be okay. Here's another example.
Right.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. How cool.
Very cool. Okay. Let's go to the next one.
What belief is more empowering? That you have the ability to choose a perspective that allows you to focus your powers of creation on creating a desirable outcome? Or is it more empowering to believe that things are either good or bad and that it's natural to react to everything just as you see it? Obviously, it is more empowering and also more effective, given the laws of the universe, to choose your perspective and to choose what anything means based not on your irrational fears, but on the fact that you are in charge of your perception. Is it more empowering to believe that you are the creator of your reality or the victim of fate? Is it more empowering to believe that you are all alone and you have to figure out things on your own? Or that you are continually and eternally surrounded in every moment by your millions of guides and supporters.
Yeah. Okay, so we can't know for sure that we're surrounded by millions of guides and supporters. But that's an empowering belief to believe that we are, to believe that we have support, to believe that we are loved, that we're not alone.
Yes.
Even if it's not true, it's still a beneficial belief, you know? You know, maybe if we make our transition and we get to non-physical, there'll just be like one Yoda-looking guy there. Like, yeah, I was your millions the whole time. Yeah. And we're like, why did you tell me it was millions? Well, would you just me?
Yeah. A little green guy with big ears.
A little green guy with big ears.
Let down.
Yeah, right?
Okay, let's go to the next one.
What is the benefit of choosing your perspective? It might seem as if you are simply fooling yourself or making light of things. You might feel like you are glossing over everything. However, given what we know about the laws of the universe and the mechanism of physical reality, everything starts and ends with how you feel. The guiding law of the universe is the law of attraction. This law brings you what you put forth. It corresponds with how you feel, not what you think. It has to do with your point of focus, which is impacted by your set of beliefs and your approach to life. When you choose a perspective that brings up fear, you knock yourself out of alignment, and you receive urges to change the conditions. Since the conditions are always perfect as they are, you are trying to change what is perfect, and this is not an effective way to live life. So then, what do you do?
Okay, so the reason you don't think that this issue with the rental car and them being closed and knowing no one helping you, if that seems imperfect to you, it's because you have this fear, like you're not going to make the boat. And so this fear brings up this false reality or this alternative reality. So the reality that you want is a reality where you make the boat on time, but the fear causes you to believe that this other reality is the true reality, that you're not going to make the boat on time. And so you want to control that reality because, like, if there was a lion in your living room, you want to control that reality because you want to live, not be eaten by a lion, right? Mm-hmm. Well, in a rational fear, then Joshua says it's perfectly appropriate to alter your reality, to take control of things and change things and leave or fight the lion or whatever. But if the fear is irrational, like it's not going to kill you if you don't make this boat, right? And that something else is out there for you and you don't know what that is. And so you can either have that fear or have that sense of curiosity. I wonder what's happening now. Mm. And in that higher, more aligned state of being, then that's when your guides and supporters can really help you by giving you these ideas. You know, talk to a supervisor, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Suggest the parking lot across the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See the parking lot across the street.
Good job, Drew, for seeing the parking lot.
Yeah.
So I think I would be good with the part, like, okay, we're going to solve this somehow. I would have that faith there. But then if I did miss the boat, I would probably have, you know, that would be a little hard for me to go. I wouldn't go immediately to, okay, that was meant to be, what's next? What excitement is in front of me right now? I would have a little bit of, oh man, you know. Okay. How will you guys be with that?
So, well, this happens to about perspective, right? Mm-hmm. So from our perspective now, looking back on what actually happened, we saw what actually happened, right? So we know that she missed the boat.
Right.
And that's the only reality that there is. There is no other reality. And if you want to talk about, well, the possible other outcomes, well, you're doing the same thing that she was doing prior to her making the vote, you know, what would have done. So you're feeling the fear and you're saying, what if? Well, what if never happened? So we don't have to worry about that. We know what actually happened. So anything other than the actual outcome of that, any fear that that wasn't going to happen, was this irrational fear that was never necessary from the beginning. You know, it never helped anybody. It never did anything for you. If you had the confidence that whatever happens is going to be the best thing that's going to work out. And then whatever happens is the best thing, and you'll know it once you get there. But until you get there, you can't know it. And the interesting thing about physical reality is if you knew what was going to happen, you would never come here because there'd be no purpose. You have to not know. You have to not know because this is a exploration, and you can't be an explorer by knowing how things are going to work out. You got to explore the unknown.
Right. I had that thought just yesterday that people that come here and seem to have a harder time or even, you know, children that have harder time and are people that don't live long lives or stuff like that. They're kind of like master explorers because they come in and they get this intense experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's more intense than the general population. And I just went off on this tangent thinking about how, you know, they've come in with those intentions and this, you know, are they at a different level? Are they almost ascended? Or where is it at that you would come in with that much adversity already against you kind of thing?
So that's a really good point. And I was listening to a podcast, Radiolab, and they were talking about in 1975 or something, this woman is in the crowd in San Francisco and Gerald Ford was walking out and she pulls a gun out of her purse and shoots and misses him. And she's about to shoot again. And this stranger grabs her arm and puts it down and the Secret Service, I guess she shoots in the ground. I think the second shot, you know, went off, but obviously not for Gerald Ford. And so the Secret Service came and tackles her and this guy becomes a hero. Mm. Well, it turns out he was gay, living in San Francisco, but none of his family knew about it. And so he was friends with Harvey Milk. And Harvey Milk was gay activist. Yeah. And this was in the 70s. And so Harvey Milk was basically, if you're famous, you have to come out. You have to show everyone that you're a normal person. And so this guy didn't want to come out and didn't want anyone to know and didn't want to even talk about it. But Harvey Milk called the newspaper and told this gossip columnist that this guy who saved the president is gay. And so they called him and they ran the story. And so it went in every paper and this was the big story. And it got back to his parents who were just devastated back in Detroit or something. And his whole family was devastated by it and they didn't talk to him anymore. And he ended up in his life, never getting over that. And became an alcoholic and died at 47 years old. You can say that this was this key figure that came into reality just to push this equal rights effort forward. Mm-hmm. And he was a momentous key person. And he can't really see that from where his perspective was. He was a Vietnam vet. He was highly decorated. You know, he had all these things going for him. And he just happened to be there. They said, well, why were you there? He goes, well, I was walking down and I saw this crowd gather and I didn't know what it was. And then I see the president come out and then this woman in front of me pulls a gun and I just did it. Well, what are the odds that he happened to be there, happened to be friends with Harvey Milk, happened to be in this, you know, time in history where there's this resistance to gays and gays are trying to get rights, you know, that they now enjoy now. So it's pretty interesting. And you can see this happening over and over with a lot of these pivotal stories where people, you can say, that's just amazing. He came in just to do that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the rest of us aren't really like that. The rest of us are here to discover certain aspects of physical reality that aren't momentous. They're just personal to us.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you see someone like him and could this story have a happy ending where he was proud to be gay and save the life of the president and to be part of the gay rights movement and to move things forward and to realize that his parents were just, you know, stuck in an old way, or did what he did, which was hold resentment against the reporter for outing him the whole time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that even when we get to that crucial point in our lives where we are here to do something, if we look at it like that shouldn't have happened, then that's not going to help us for the rest of our life. No. If we look at it like that was the perfect thing to happen, and from this point on, now I can create whatever I want out of that.
Mm. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a perfect example of getting to choose what we focus on. He could have chosen to feel liberated, you know, to not have to hide these big parts of who he was. And he focused on fear of loss of love, which is an easy thing to do.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. But yet he took a big chunk of that pain or that hurt and he carried that burden so that other people coming behind him would have more opportunity to let go and realize that, you know, you're not going to lose the love and all that.
And also, by being this hero who was also gay, he changed a lot of minds who thought that prior to that, that they were sissies, for instance, was a big thing. Nancy voice, you know. Yeah, which was what they were talking about on this podcast.
That's a long time.
Yeah, but back in those days, if you were, you know, they weren't considered to be heroes. Well, here he was a Vietnam veteran that was a hero and then saved the life of the president, too.
I thought I just had yesterday that I talked with Astrid a little bit about the fear of loss of love thing. And something that Joshua said that's just making more and more sense to me all the time is it's so funny because for me, and I think a lot of us, fear of loss of love is a huge thing. But can we actually lose love of people that don't even know who we are? If we haven't been our true selves with these people, the version of us that they love isn't even us. So how can we lose something that isn't even really real? All the time.
Yeah. So when he was considered straight by his family and they loved him and accepted him to holidays and, you know, were proud of him. Mm-hmm. In the first few days after this, they were proud of him. Mm-hmm. And then they found out who he really was and withdrew the love, but they were loving someone else completely.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They weren't even loving him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we all try and control how other people see us. Always.
And you can't.
You know?
It's so...
Like, you wouldn't... have manners or you wouldn't dress nicely.
Yeah.
if you're like, I'm not the guy that does this, and like, why am I doing this? Well, I want to be accepted too. So there's that play there.
Mm-hmm. I've been seeing that a lot of the stuff that's coming up for me. And I mean, the biggest resolution that I'm finding to this fear of loss of love stuff is just honestly, and it feels so cliche, but like learning to love myself, learning to accept myself, mm-hmm. all the versions of me, like looking at them all, whether I or other people would define them as good or bad, just being like, well, okay, that's who I was in that moment. That's who I'm being in this moment. Okay.
That's good. You know?
And just learning to love all of them. And the more I do that, the less I find myself needing it from other people.
And then unless you're self-conscious of it and wondering what they're thinking because you had spent the time like loving that part of you and then you're less conscious. That's good.
And then you can say too that like I had a thing last night where I said something I shouldn't have said and I beat myself up on it and I'm like, well, how do I know I shouldn't have said that? Because the thing that I said might have impacted somebody. Mm-hmm. In a way that was beneficial for them, and I can't know what that was.
Right.
And if I had the inspiration, because we were having a great time, to say that and to bring it up, then it had to be for somebody, for some reason. I just don't know what it was. You know, and if other people got upset by it, well, that's their manifestation event, you know, and mine too, by feeling bad for saying it. But, we didn't come here to be loved. We came here to express love, and that's acceptance for everyone else and especially ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right.
Because even when we perceive we're not expressing love, if we do something where we didn't express love, then we can accept ourselves in that moment and express love to ourselves at that moment or just say, or feel guilty, feel guilty about it.
Yeah, feel guilty, which is also based on a false or limiting belief, right? Yeah. If you feel guilty, that thing that you're feeling, I mean, obviously it's a real feeling, but it's based on something that's not real. Mm-hmm. Based on an illusion. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Hmm.
One day we'll get this figured out.
That's right.
And then we'll die.
Exactly.
Poof.
We're doing it this morning.
Yeah.
Figuring it out. I think we got it, you guys. I think we got it.
That is funny. Well, actually, that wasn't a Joshua line. Once you get it figured out, then you die because you have no reason to be here. You're exploring. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's not figure it out for a while.
Let's back off of it.
All right. Let's do the next one. Then what do you do?
Oh, right. In choosing the perspective that is most empowering, you make it easier to return to a state of alignment. Imagine the scenario you described. If you believed that you are a victim of fate, you would feel fear and receive all kinds of ideas based in fear. These urges to change the conditions would have been counterproductive. If you were in a frantic state, you would not receive the ideas that would lead to the eventual solution. the inspired ideas come from your guides. And the way to receive those love-based ideas is to remain in a calm and confident state of alignment. Imagine now that you are completely calm and have total faith that everything will eventually work out for your highest good. You cannot know exactly how it will happen, but if you had faith in your guides, you would realize that ideas would come to you at the perfect time. All you would have to think is, what now? What is the thing to do next? How interesting this adventure is. I wonder how it will all work out. It will be fun to see it play out. I know that in fear, I will receive urges, but instead of acting on those urges and feeling fear, I will choose the perspective that everything is good and there is no reason to worry. It will all work out. It always does.
So this is another example of self-talk that helps you stay in that calm and easy state and confident state of alignment. And you can just, I'm just imagining in my mind this scenario with them freaking out and screaming and yelling and at people, right? That you see people do all the time. And the confident and calm ones are like, hey, this is fun. Let's see what happens. I mean, it's sort of easy to see how the confident people in faith and ease always have things working out for them, you know?
Right.
And you can sort of see how the hyperactive, insecure, fearful people are just constantly thinking that everything's working out against them.
Yeah. If I had an agent in front of me and I'm freaking out and I'm you're not working with me and I start blaming him, well, he's digging in his heels.
Yeah.
And he's like, definitely. He's more not likely to not help me more and more.
Because he's feeling fear.
Right. He's defending. He's defending his position of, no, this is the rule. These are the rules.
Yeah, this is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then if I'm confident, if I'm calm and I'm confident and, you know, that open with an open vibration, then he might be more likely to work with me, problem solve with me. I mean,
or he might receive inspiration.
Right.
He didn't receive otherwise. Okay. Yeah. So half of the job is getting yourself into alignment and half of the job is helping other people maintain their alignment so that you can co-create something together.
Yeah. Well, the first part of the job. Yeah, the first part of the job. Yeah, it already takes care of the other part. But as soon as you work on yourself, you're already more likely to affect him in that, affect anyone around you in that way. Yeah.
Right. And so what you want to do is not control how things turn out, but control the fear you're feeling and talk yourself through that fear without, you know, succumbing to or receiving those urges and then acting on urges out of fear. Yeah.
And recognizing that. That's a big point, awareness, being aware.
Right.
That's why meditation is so important, because you can, in meditation, you learn to see your thoughts better and realize what's happening. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Finish
it off. This perspective allows you to return your focus of attention to what it is you really want. You really want the fun, adventure, interest, and ease of life. And this is what you have received your entire life. Why would it be any different now? With our love, we are Joshua.
And that's not just true of Drew, it's true of all of us.
Right.
All we've received fun, adventure, interest, and ease. It's always there for us. And why would it be any different? Because I feel like when I'm looking forward in the future, I really have to remind myself not to picture things going wrong.
Right.
Because they never go wrong. They're always going right. You know? And so that's just a waste of time and just makes me feel anxious.
Yeah. And it goes back to the old turn your cheek. If you're looking this way and you're feeling a little anxious or a little like, oh my gosh, it's not going to work out, just turn your cheek, get a little bit new perspective, and you can bring yourself back on track.
Yep.
Cool. All right. So how long have we been doing this podcast?
I would say about 50 minutes. So
50 minutes? All right.
We've been recording.
I didn't think I'd make it this long. Yeah.
You didn't think you'd make it this long? What do you mean? Because you're not feeling
I'm falling apart.
I would say you might want to look at that belief, Gary.
See, you need to get back to that humid Florida air.
I know. It's freezing up here. Oh, actually, it's so
much here. So Tracy is there? Is she still there?
She's in Mooresville, which is about an hour and a half away, staying at her friend's house with her mom. You know, So cool. She's still here, and Miss Marilyn are about 15 minutes or so, half an hour south of them. And I met Tracy's friends the other night. And then Clark and Mary Kay are here closer to Morganton, which is closer to Asheville. My brother and his wife came over and saw the house yesterday.
Oh, nice. Is your brother from there?
He's in Asheville area, so he's an hour and a half. Yeah.
And what is the closest airport to there?
Charlotte.
Nice. That's where Tom flies in all the time.
Yeah. That's great.
He's actually going to be there when we're in Las Vegas.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so Charlotte is great because you can get anywhere from Charlotte, all over the world. It's a good hub. Yep.
How long does it take to drive from the Charlotte airport to where you are?
About 35 minutes, I guess.
That's awesome.
They have a really nice freeway that no one uses. And there's nobody ever on it. You know, it's one of those things they're doing in advance. And then they've done half of it done, so half of it's perfect. And then it goes back into a normal two-lane road, which they're expanding that now. So in about a year, that'll be done too. So it's pretty quick.
Nice.
So how's all the work going on the house?
Great. We've got the AC and heat in.
Nice.
They're starting the hardwood floors. JJ, Abrajo's son, was there, and he chipped up a bunch of the tile, took the cabinets out. I've designed the kitchen, got ready to get the cabinets ordered. So now I need electrical plumbing and a carpenter to work on that part.
So when you design the kitchen, do you have a software to do that? Or just pen and paper? Like, how do you design it?
You have a guy go out and measure, and they know every part of the whole thing. And then I sit down with a designer, and we pick out the cabinets and put everything there, and what can fit here, what can fit there,
hire a designer, and then you work with the designer. Okay.
Yeah. So in this case, it's Home Depot. and most
it's a good job.
Yeah. And they got great cabinets there. And I also went to Lowe's too. But I tried to go through a local guy because I want to give work to the local people in Newton. Mm-hmm. And so I called a couple guys and they never called back. And I tried to call them. They weren't returning the call. So it's like this, that's my intention, is to work with local people. Mm-hmm. But all the people – who are helping the designer and the installers and all those people are local. Mm-hmm. So, it's just that Thomasville's not. But wherever Thomasville's made, they're local too, I guess.
Yeah.
Yep. But the AC guys are local and the floor guys are local. And so it's coming together, hopefully by May or June. Mm. By the time this podcast airs, hopefully it's finished.
That's wishful thinking.
Yeah. So
I think
these
are coming up pretty quickly.
Yeah, today's St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Is it? Today?
Yeah.
I don't have any green. I have a little bit of green in my bracelet. There we go.
Oh, I have no green at all.
Yeah.
I still have my jammies on.
All right, you guys. This has been probably the best podcast with a sick host that I've ever listened to.
Ever.
And when we say sick, we mean sick.
Oh my God.
And when we say fat, we mean fast.
That's right.
So we'll see you guys in about, exactly 4 weeks?
Oh, today's the 7th. Yeah, less than 4 weeks, I think.
Yeah, wow. Cool.
4 weeks.
So if anybody wants to come, I think this podcast will be out Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. So if anybody wants to come, there's still time. You can go the teachingsofjoshua.com, and there's an events page that has details on it. You can join the Friends of Joshua Facebook group by going to facebook.com/Joshua Teachings and send us a message on there. We'll get you in. And we can hook you up with Deborah Jo. So it's April 15th through the 19th is the Joshua Land Cruise in Las Vegas. It's going to be a good time.
And if you haven't met Deborah Jo, you're going to love Deborah Jo.
Yeah. So. The phone call with Deborah Jo alone would be worth it.
Exactly.
All right, you guys. Well, if I'm alive on Monday, we'll do Joshua Live. But it's not looking good.
What's the drama?
<I'm looking good. laughs> You're going to make it.
I'm one of those people. Yeah, they need to be tucked in and taken care of.
Oh, geez. And here you are, all the way in North Carolina. Who are you going to find to do that now?
Clark and Mary Kay, they're right upstairs. No. All right. So everyone have a wonderful week, and we'll see you again. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.